Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Tony Liebert, and you can follow me on Twitter at Tony Liebert and Instagram at Tony _ Liebert. That is TonyLiebert. For this week's episode, I'll be reacting to the Gophers' latest 2023 commitment from South Carolina wide receiver Tyler Brown, and then I will preview the Big Ten Conference for the 2022-23 football season. We'll talk roster outlooks, predictions for the awards and all Big Ten teams, and where the Gophers stack up against the rest of the conference. Some recruiting. After last week's recording on Monday, the Gophers have had one commitment since, which came on Monday. Greenville, a South Carolina wide receiver, Tyler Brown, committed following his official visit 2 weekends ago. He is a 5'11", 170-pound wide receiver. The Gophers were his only FBS offer. He held top offers from James Madison, Jacksonville State, and Harvard, some of the best FCS programs there are. At the time of his commitment to the Gophers, he did not have any ranking on 24/7 Sports. Now they rank him as the 113th best wide receiver nationwide, and the number 11 player in South Carolina. I still don't really understand how he doesn't have a rating. Last season as a junior, he had 71 catches for 1,034 receiving yards and 15 total touchdowns. He plays for Greenville High, which has an enrollment of 1,500 students. They play at the highest level of South Carolina football. So it's not like he's getting these numbers playing at a small private school or something. He's playing against the best players in his state. And he has a very similar physical profile to a guy like Nuke Hayes, who verbally committed 2 weeks ago. And he has a similar level of production. And I just don't understand why he's not ranked on 24/7 Sports. Nuke Hayes was a top 800 player, and he just doesn't do anything drastically that much better than Tyler Brown. Obviously, there are a lot of high school football players in the country, so not everyone can be ranked. But so basically what I'm saying is Tyler Brown has a chance to be a very good football player, much like Nuke Hayes. So he's not your typical unranked guy committing. He's shown to be very productive at a high level of high school football, and he has a great physical profile for a Big Ten wide receiver. So he's a very solid addition to the class. Might not reflect in his rating, but don't put it past him. He is a very good football player. He also runs track in the spring. Just solid all-around athlete, very explosive, and has a chance to be a weapon for the Gophers when he joins them in the future. So outside of that commitment, there are a few players that listed their final list of schools that included the Gophers. 2023 Cincinnati, Ohio offensive lineman Philip Daniels previously included the Gophers in his top four, but he announced that on July 2nd at 2 p.m. on Instagram Live, he'll be announcing his decision between Pittsburgh, Boston College, Purdue, and the Gophers. He's a top 50 interior offensive lineman nationwide, so the Gophers have had a lot of offensive lineman depth in their 23 class, but Daniels would be a very solid addition. 2023 Rollisville, North Carolina wide receiver Tamarcus Cooley also included the Gophers in his top seven over the week. The Gophers joined NC State, Louisville, Appalachian State, North Carolina, East Carolina, and Ole Miss. So, a few big-time schools in that list. Nevertheless, the Gophers have a chance to add another talented wide receiver to their class. Next in the 23 class was St. Louis, Missouri wide receiver Frederick Moore, included the Gophers in his top five, along with Illinois, Michigan, Cincinnati, and Texas A&M. So they're with the big boys with Frederick Moore. Very talented receiver, fringe four-star guy, high-level three-star. So he would be a huge addition. But obviously it's going to be tough with three schools that play at the highest level of college football and Illinois, who's improving recruiting under why am I blanking on his name? The old Wisconsin head coach. Whatever. Now it's annoying me. What's his name? Illinois football head coach. Brett Bielema. Why did I forget that? Because it's June and I haven't watched football in a while. Also in the recruiting news. But so those three guys are three names to watch. Out for on top of Jackson Howard's commitment that is also coming on July 2nd. Or is it July 1st? Early July. First week of July. First few days. But four-star wide receiver Anthony Brown released his top five schools over the week without including the Gophers. He was a guy who was previously committed. He's posted on social media, working out with some Gophers guys. He's the brother of Mike Brown Stevens. So, it seemed like the Gophers had a chance, but they don't now, obviously. He listed Kentucky, Penn State, Cincinnati, Michigan, and Oklahoma. Five schools that have stuff the Gophers can't offer. So, it makes sense, but like I said, watch it. Hopefully by this time next week, we're talking about Jackson Howard in a Gophers uniform. It will be tough, obviously, with Michigan, LSU, and Miami. Three schools that might have a bigger NIL budget. I don't know how much that'll dictate, but it's a fact. But I still like the Gophers' chances. Like I said before, I'd put it at 30 to 40%, and I strongly believe that. By any means, it would not shock me that he commits to Miami, LSU, or Michigan, but it seems like he's realistically considering the Gophers. So I'll just leave it at that, but Before we get into the Big Ten preview, I also wanted to shout out 2023 long snapper Ryan Algram from Illinois, who committed to the Gophers as a preferred walk-on. Obviously don't know much about the long snapping game, but I just wanted to give him a shout out. And then last thing before we jump into the Big Ten preview, I just wanted to mention that I attended the Marion Barber III Celebration of Life service last Tuesday, and it was really a beautiful celebration of Marion's life. I thought it was, I, as a 21-year-old, wasn't able to watch Marion, or at least remember him that much in a Gophers uniform, and I thought it was a really cool way to honor and celebrate his life. I don't have much more than that, but I just wanted to mention that it was really cool to watch and be there. And he obviously touched a lot of people's lives, especially Gophers fans and everyone. I just thought it was really cool. But now, into the Big Ten 2022-23 preview. I will be going through standings, my championship prediction, the first team prediction, awards prediction, and then just some overall thoughts on the conference. So as for the standings, I'll kind of go in tiers, but I think Ohio State's in a tier of its own. I think anyone would agree with that. As much as it might be annoying to see the same team compete for a Big Ten title every single year, there's a reason they are. They have the best players. They have one of the best coaches. And this year, I'll get into it more, but they have the best quarterback, I think, by a dramatic, dramatic margin. And that's going to help them. They have really good receivers. Heading into last year, they had to get a new quarterback, had running back questions, a lot of turnover on defense. But now they return a lot of guys on defense. They return a quarterback, return Travion Henderson at running back. Ryan Day's even now has an extra year of experience as a head coach, and I think they're really in a class of their own. As for number two, not many people have this. The consensus seems to be Michigan at number two, but I have Michigan State at number two. I trust their quarterback more. Peyton Thorne had a really good season last year, and he returns. They return their number one wide receiver, Jaden Reed. I've been impressed with how much Mel Tucker has adapted to the transfer portal. After losing Kenneth Walker, one of the best players in college football, he replaced him with Wisconsin transfer Jalen Berger and Colorado transfer Jarek Broussard, who are two very talented running backs. I think Broussard probably has the inside track to get the most of the carries, but anyone who's obviously followed Wisconsin, knew Berger was hyped up, so he's a talented player. And I'm just really impressed with the culture that that Mel Tucker has developed in a short time in East Lansing. And I think Michigan State has enough talent returning on both sides of the ball, enough transfer talent they added, that I think they're going to have a 9-10 win season once again in 2022. Next on my list is Michigan. They still have a very talented team. They still return Blake Corum at running back. They still return Cade McNamara at quarterback. But I think what will limit the ceiling of this team is their quarterback position. Cade McNamara was sufficient last year. But he didn't do anything over the top. He wasn't a game-changing player at quarterback. But last year, true freshman J.J. McCarthy, who came in special packages, you could tell that he was a game-changer at quarterback, but he was a true freshman. Now he's a redshirt freshman. I believe maybe he lost his 4 games of eligibility, but I'm not 100% sure. Nevertheless, he's still a young quarterback. And so if he takes over the quarterback spot for Cade McNamara. And if he plays up to his potential, I think that Michigan would have a chance to beat Ohio State again. But with McNamara, I don't know about that. Yeah, McCarthy is not a redshirt freshman. He appeared in 11 games last year. But a very talented player. So I think their quarterback position will dictate where they finish in the Big Ten because, like I said, they still got Blake Corum at running back. They have Ronnie Bell at wide receiver. Talented tight ends, talented offensive line. They replace a lot on defense, replace Aiden Hutchinson, but still very talented unit. They return a lot of productive players from last year. So as for Michigan, quarterback position will dictate their finish. So I honestly would have Ohio State in one tier and then Michigan State in one tier. And then in the next tier, I would have Minnesota. You might say, oh, that's so homer. You're putting Minnesota at four. But they are in the same tier as Iowa and Penn State in my eyes. Excuse me. All three teams have, as for Iowa and Penn State, so I'll talk about these three together. Iowa and Penn State, Iowa might have the best overall defense in the conference, one of the best in the country. They return Jack Campbell, Riley Moss, very talented unit. But their offense, they're losing Tyler Goodson, who's probably their best offensive player. Sam Laporta is pretty good at tight end, but the best skill position player last year, one of. And they might have one of the worst quarterback situations in the conference. Spencer Petras was horrible last year. They tried out their backup in a few situations, but still a major question at quarterback. And like that, it's going to catch up to you at some point. Last year, it caught up to him. You can rely on your running game and your defense, but Iowa has to replace a lot up front. Tyler Linderbaum still going to have a good running game because they're Iowa. But they just have a lot of questions offensively. As for Penn State, very talented defense, very talented skill position guys. They're always going to reload there. But they also have a question at quarterback. They got Sean Clifford, who has proven to be a very solid game manager, but he's never going to go out and win you a game. There's really solid talent around him, but it's just, is Sean Clifford going to be able to have his best season as a quarterback for Penn State, and is he going to be able to elevate them? I don't know. And then as for Minnesota, obviously they have similar questions to Iowa and Penn State. Very talented team around Tanner Morgan, but is he going to be able to find that 2019 success that he had under Kirk Ciarca? See, Iowa and Penn State didn't change anything with their quarterback situations from last year. For all I know, Iowa's returning their offensive coordinator from last year, Ferentz's son. I believe Penn State's returning their offensive staff. So it's like doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. That saying, whenever it goes by, it says that's insanity. I think that's what Penn State and Iowa kind of are doing. But Minnesota's making a change. And I think it's going to help Tanner Morgan. The question just is how much. And that, I don't know. Nobody knows. I think it will be substantial enough to catapult the Gophers into contention in the Big Ten West. But it ultimately comes down to one of the biggest games of the year, November 19th, Iowa at Minnesota, in my eyes. That is going to determine the Big Ten West, in my eyes. But as I said, Minnesota, Iowa, Penn State, all in the same tier. I could be swayed in either direction of who's better than those three teams. Iowa obviously has probably has the best unit, their defense, compared to those three. So consensusly, they're probably the fourth best team in the conference. Some maybe see them even as third, but their quarterback situation being just so bad, I think, limits them a little bit. You have to put that into something. So in my eyes, I go Minnesota, Iowa, Penn State, all in the same tier. And then next is, in the next tier, I feel it's Purdue and Wisconsin, two teams that do one thing very well. Purdue is going to pass the ball well. In my eyes, they might have the second best quarterback in the conference with Aiden O'Connell. But they have to replace David Bell. They have new wide receivers. They have a solid tight end, but returning running back, King Dermru, but so they're going to have a good offense, but their defense is going to struggle. They lost their best player from last year, George Karloftis. But so it's going to be a normal Purdue team. It's just, is the other units going to step up? And then my hot take of the year, not being biased, like if I was in the Big Ten West Championship again, that would not surprise me at all. If Wisconsin's in the Big Ten West Championship, or wins the Big Ten West and goes to the championship game, that would surprise me. They just have way too many holes on their team. They are replacing a majority of their defense. Leo Chenal is gone. And their offense is just, like, putrid. They might have won the best running back in the conference. I could be swayed into that. I really like Braylon Allen. He's a very, very, very good football player. But Graham Mertz showed absolutely nothing last year. So you could be projecting, thinking he's going to take a step forward this year. Third year under center, all this, blah, blah, blah. He's going to take a big jump, talented player. He showed that that's not going to be the case last year. Excuse me. But, so, like, I don't know why people think that he's going to. I feel like people are almost just assuming, like, oh, like, Wisconsin, their running game, blah, blah, blah. Graham Mertz will be better. Like, he could just be the same, and that's going to really hurt their team. They don't have really much to work with at the skill positions. Jake Ferguson, their tight end, was good last year, but he's gone. They got no, like, explosiveness at wide receiver. Like I said, it's just Braylon Allen on offense. And for as much as they like to think that you can just run the football, it might get them to a bowl game, but I don't know if it's going to get them to Big Ten West contention. So, and like I said, their defense that they relied so heavily on last year, they're replacing a lot of players on that side of the football. So I think they're going to take a step back in my eyes. But so I'd go up to now Ohio State, Michigan State, Michigan, Minnesota, Iowa, Penn State, Purdue, Wisconsin. And then the next tier I have would be Nebraska and Maryland. For some godforsaken reason, people are looking at Nebraska as the favorite in the Big Ten West. That's just comical. Personally, I do think Nebraska is going to be better than what the trolls and the mobs on Twitter would say. That they're like, oh, Nebraska is going to struggle. Like, they're Nebraska. They're going to be 5-7 again. They're going to go to a bowl game this year. Their team's too talented not to. They had a horrible stretch of bad luck last year. It's going to revert back to the mean if they play that well. And there's a chance they have the third or fourth best quarterback in the conference. I really like Casey Thompson, very talented player. Showed it last year at Texas that he can really be a solid quarterback. And I think he's going to do that again for Nebraska. But they just got so many question marks. If they do compete for a Big Ten West title, it's just all these question marks would have to be answered. They don't return, like, this major contributor anywhere on offense. They have a lot of interesting players and talented players that could become that. But, like, they're going to need a running back to step up. They're going to need a wide receiver to step up. They have guys that can, but that they all haven't yet. Their offensive line is talented, but they're going to need to step up. They haven't shown it. They can, but they haven't shown it. And their defense has been horrible under Scott Frost. And they have a lot of talent this year. And they're going to need guys to step up. They can, but they haven't yet. So, like I said, I think they're going to be better than what the mobs on Twitter tell you. But Big Ten West title, like, I see Nebraska as a team that's going to, they might, like, this is the year that I think that they'd upset Oklahoma or they'd upset Iowa. And that's something to build on to next year. And that'll give the administration a reason to bring back Scott Frost. Next is Maryland. One of the more talented offenses in the Big Ten. Tua Tagovailoa in the conversation with those top five quarterbacks in the conference. Super talented receivers, Rakeem Jarrett, Dante Dimas. Really solid offense all around. But their defense is question mark. And Talia's a bit inconsistent. But last year against, if you take away that Iowa game, which is tough because I remember it was on Thursday or Friday, and it was on national TV. Everyone was watching that. So the first thing they think about is kind of that game when he threw five picks or whatever it was. If you take out that game, he had a really solid year last year. So it'll be interesting to see how their offense clicks this year. They had a lot of injuries at receiver. But they're a team like Nebraska, in my eyes, that has the potential to upset one of the teams in the top half of the conference. But I don't think they have the potential to compete with the top half of the conference, if you know what I mean. Like they could beat Michigan or an Iowa or a Penn State in this big upset, but like they could also lose to Northwestern or Illinois. That brings into the next tier. I'd probably go Rutgers, Illinois in one tier, and then Northwestern, Indiana. All those teams just have too many question marks. I really like the direction Rutgers is going. I think Greg Schiano has them pointed in the right direction, but they just don't have enough explosiveness offensively. As for Illinois, same thing. I think Brett Bielema is pointing them in the right direction. They have one of the better running backs in the conference with Chase Brown, but still too many question marks. Northwestern, they're an interesting team because they have a good running back, Evan Hull, one of the best offensive linemen in the conference, Peter Skoronski, and they have a good head coach. Their quarterback's major question mark, which will hurt them. And then last is Indiana, who's really taken just a step back overall since their big year in 2020, and I think this year it's going to continue. They don't really have many strengths at all on their team. They got the Missouri transfer Connor Balazek at quarterback. And I think they're going to struggle to get back to the success they had in 2020. But, so I'm with a lot of people. I feel like the consensus would be, and the favorite would be, Ohio State over Iowa in the Big Ten Championship. And like I said, this might be a little biased, but I just gave you my reasons why I think Minnesota can win the Big Ten West. So I'm going Ohio State over Minnesota. But I think it's going to happen. I'm speaking it into an existence. This is a Minnesota podcast. You're going to be like, oh, that's just way too optimistic. I think it's Minnesota and Iowa in their own tier for the Big Ten West title. They're the more well-rounded teams compared to Purdue, Wisconsin, or Nebraska, in my eyes. So that's my prediction. 41-13. I don't think Minnesota has, I don't think anyone honestly in the Big Ten has the firepower to keep up with Ohio State. You would need, I mean, Out of anyone in the conference, the Gophers might have one of the better pass defenses with their stable of cornerbacks with Justin Wally, transfers Ryan Stapp and Beanie Bishop. So it would be an interesting matchup to watch. And you could talk me into the Gophers having a fighter shot, but by any means, to keep up with the Heisman favorite and three potential first-round wide receivers and one of the best running backs in the country, as of now, that could all change with Kirk Ciarrocca. But I just don't think the Gophers have the offensive firepower to score with Ohio State. Yeah, fun to talk about in June. Hopefully we get there in December. As for the first team all Big Ten prediction. So on the offensive side of the ball, I think C.J. Stroud, like I said, is pretty far and above the best quarterback in the conference. As for the running backs, I think kind of tier one is Travion Henderson, Mo Ibrahim, and Braylon Allen, and then it's everyone else. So I went with Travion Henderson and Mo Ibrahim at the running back position. At the wide receiver position, I went with Jackson Smith and Jigba. Guy everyone knows from the Rose Bowl. Scored four touchdowns, had like 15 catches for 300 yards or whatever it was. Just a crazy talented receiver. Clearly one of C.J. Stroud's favorite targets. Think that's going to continue in 2022. And then Jaden Reed, wide receiver from Michigan State, as my second guy. Had over 1,000 yards last year. Peyton Thorne obviously likes throwing to him. With two new running backs, maybe Michigan State becomes a little more pass-heavy. I think he's going to have a big year. Tight end Sam Laporta, really in his own tier of tight ends in the conference for Iowa. He has a chance to be maybe the first tight end drafted in the NFL, maybe the best tight end in the country. Really talented player. But like I said, clearly the Iowa's best skill position guy on offense. And when your best skill position guy is a tight end, it's kind of hard to build around that. Excuse me. Next is offensive linemen. For some reason, the Big Ten only does four offensive linemen. I don't know why. It's kind of stupid. But Paris Johnson and Peter Skoronski, kind of in their own tier for tackle talent in the conference. Two potential first-round picks, really good players. And then John Michael Schmitz in his own tier for the interior. Might be the best center in the country. Going to be a great storyline to watch for the Gophers and the Big Ten. And then offense tackle Jalen Duncan from Maryland. I threw out my other one. Talented guy, probably four-year starter now. First team all Big Ten type of player. And then they also do a flex, which I threw Braylon Allen at. For as much as I dislike Wisconsin, Braylon Allen's a very, very talented running back. Still a teenager, which is crazy. But that's what I got for my all Big Ten offense. As for the defense, there's four defensive linemen, and they don't specify them to position, which also I think is kind of dumb. Zach Harrison, defensive end from Ohio State, super talented player, could be a top 100 pick in the NFL draft. P.J. Mustafa from Penn State, another very talented guy, could be a top 100 pick. Was All Big Ten last year, I believe. And then last two, I got Keanu Benton from Wisconsin and Jacob Slade from Michigan State. Two guys that I think were all Big Ten third team last year, but so they're returning. On Keanu Benton could be one of Wisconsin's best players on defense this season. And then at the linebacker position, I got Jack Campbell, who might be the best defensive player in the conference. Classic Iowa linebacker. Really good last season. He's going to be really good this year. And then I got Nate Herbig from Wisconsin. For as much as I say Wisconsin's replacing all this stuff on defense, they've done it for the last 10 years, so there's no reason why they can't reload instead of rebuild, but I guess we'll see. And then the last linebacker, I have Cal Halliday from Michigan State. Sick name, solid player last year for the Spartans as a true freshman. I think he could develop into one of the better linebackers in the conference. And then at cornerback, I got Riley Moss from Iowa, pretty much in his own tier. Really talented playmaker at that position. Had a lot of turnovers last year that he forced. And then Denzel Burke from Ohio State, first-round pick potential. Really good last season. Could be even better this year. And then this might be a little bit of a homer pick, but I threw Justin Wally in there as the last cornerback. I've been to a few Gophers practices in the spring. He looks even better than last year, and he's going to be a guy if he takes that step into being an elite number one college corner. The Gophers defense could be really good this year, like really good. And but I think there's a serious chance he can. I'll admit this one's a bit homerish, but we're throwing him in there. And then last two for the safeties, Ronnie Hickman from Ohio State might be in his own tier again. And then Jair Brown from Penn State, who is also a very talented guy in the back end. And then some award predictions. Excuse me. C.J. Stroud for Offensive Player of the Year. A lot of these are kind of chalk, but like I said, he's the best offensive player in the conference. And I think it's just going to happen at this point. Defense Player of the Year, I have Jack Campbell from Iowa, which again is very chalky. But he's just the best defense player in the conference. I just don't see how anyone else is going to be better than him. And then so for Freshman of the Year, this was an interesting one. I originally thought J.J. McCarthy. I thought he was a redshirt freshman, but he's not. He's a true sophomore now. So I'm going with, a little off the board here, Gavin Wimsatt, who is a redshirt freshman quarterback at Rutgers, their highest recruit ever, played quarterback, went in for a few games last year. But he's a guy who went in for 3 or 4 games, and he's coming back using his redshirt freshman year. The Rutgers might start with Noah Vedral at quarterback, but I think Wimsatt takes over, and I think he has a really good year for Rutgers. And bold prediction, I think they go to a bowl game. They went to a bowl game last year, I believe, but that was filling in for a team that had COVID, if I remember correctly. So I think Gavin Wimsatt, Freshman of the Year. As for Coach of the Year, if the Gophers go to the Big Ten Championship, I think it's pretty easy going to be P.J. Fleck, and I think they're going to. So I'll throw P.J. Fleck for Coach of the Year. Quarterback of the Year, C.J. Stroud. Same reason for Offensive Player of the Year. He's best player in the conference, plain and simple. Running Back of the Year, again, if the Gophers make it to the Big Ten Championship, I think it's going to be a larger reason because of Mo Ibrahim, so I'll throw him at Running Back of the Year. And I realize that this might seem homerish. You're like, oh, you're just picking all these Gophers. But I'm just sticking with my prediction. I think Minnesota's going to go to the Big Ten Championship, and if that happens, I think P.J. Fleck and Mo Ibrahim take home those two awards. Wide Receiver of the Year, Jackson Smith and Jigba. Like I said, might be best wide receiver in the country, could be the Biletnikoff Award winner. Again, that's a bit chalky. There could be a few guys that usurp him, but we'll see about that. Tight End of the Year, Sam Laporta. That one's chalky, but I'd be shocked if that one does not happen. He has just a substantial gap in talent over the rest of the conference. Offensive Lineman of the Year, John Michael Schmitz. I think he's going to win the Remington Award. One of the best offensive linemen in the country. So, Defensive Lineman of the Year, I went with P.J. Mustafer from Penn State. I think he's going to have a monster year. And then Linebacker of the Year, Jack Campbell. like I said, just best defensive player in the conference. And then defensive back of the year, Riley Moss. That one I could see changing. Last year, a lot of his success was from turnover luck. A lot of Iowa's success was from turnover luck. So we'll see how that goes this year. But nevertheless, he's a talented player. So some closing thoughts on the conference. I thought I would mention the most important games of the year. Number one, I think, is Iowa-Minnesota. Personally, I would be surprised if either one of those teams do not play in the Big Ten Championship. I think they have a step ahead of the rest of the division. So Iowa traveling to Dinky Town. We'll see how that game goes, but I think it's going to go a long way in determining the winner of the Big Ten West. Then number two, I think, is Ohio State at Michigan State. I think Ohio State's just miles ahead of the rest of the conference, but if they aren't, it's going to be because of that game. That's going to be Michigan State's shot to make an upset and make a run at the Big Ten East title. But if it doesn't happen there, I don't think it's going to happen at all. And then next on the list is Penn State at Purdue week one. I keep talking about how the Gophers in Iowa are a step ahead of the Big Ten West. But if Purdue knocks off Penn State at home in week one, that's going to give them a lot of momentum for the rest of the year. And give them confidence that they could be in the Big Ten Championship. But if Penn State takes care of business and beats Purdue, that's going to give them momentum the rest of the year too. So I think that game in week one is going to really change the trajectory for both of those teams. And then last, obviously, Michigan at Ohio State. I think Ohio State at home after losing for the first time in a few years, CJ Stroud coming back, I just see no way how they lose that game. Obviously, so much can happen between now and then with injuries and stuff, but those, I think, are the most four important games in determining the winner of the Big Ten. And then a few other notes I'd like to touch on. Like I said, one of my takes is I think Wisconsin's going to have a down year. For them, that might still be 7 or 8 wins, but they have an inexperienced O-line. They still have Graham Mertz. A lot of turnover on defense. And the Big Ten West, I just don't see how they're going to win the Big Ten West. I would be surprised if Wisconsin's playing in the Big Ten Championship. You can clip this and show it to me in December, but I believe that. And then, like I said, how is Nebraska the favorite? I think they're, like I said earlier, they're going to have one or two games that you're like, ooh, Nebraska's back. But they're still going to be inconsistent. I bet they go 6-6, 7-5. Last year they went 5-7. I bet they go 7-5. I think they might upset Oklahoma or Iowa this year, like I said earlier, but they're still inconsistent. You can't just go from 5-7 to 9-3 that easily, I think. I still think they're a year away. But Iowa's defense is shaky. They have a good their defense is good. Their offense is shaky, and might have worst QB in the conference. And Purdue's offense is good. Good QB, but new wide receivers and a shaky defense. And the Gophers are solid on both ends, in my eyes, if Tanner Morgan takes that at least somewhat step forward. So, that's what I think about the Big Ten West. And then Wisconsin, Maryland, and Nebraska, I think, are all three going to be in the same tier. All three can upset. They can beat those top teams, but they're not going – but they can also lose to the bottom teams, I think, as of now. Could change, but they're not. I don't think they're going to have sustained success. But that's all I got for the conference. As always, I appreciate you listening. We'll be back next week on Monday. Row the boat, Sky Uma, and go Gophers.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Swing into Seaside Golf in Ocean City, Maryland. Play like a pro at 17 championship courses designed by golf legends like Jack Nicklaus and Arthur Hills. Tee off on sweeping vistas at Eagle's Landing. Savor the coastal views of Lighthouse Sound. Or see why Ocean City Golf Club is considered one of the Mid-Atlantic's finest fairways. Whether you're sneaking in a quick round on a family vacation or going all in on a golf getaway, fun is always in play at Ocean City, Maryland. Plan your trip at OCOcean.com.